Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and the praise for all that you have done in the Lord Jesus. Father, we praise you for his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, for his resurrection, the heart of the gospel message that we proclaim from this place and that believers around the world are in, fellowshipping in, talking about on this Lord's Day. Father, we thank you that we can join with them in lifting up praise and worship to your name. You are a great God. There is no other God. There is no other way to peace and happiness and true joy, fulfillment of our purpose, and an eternal presence with you. It's only through Jesus, and you are the only way. Father, help us to be bold in our faith, faithful in our proclamation, that we will not cower in the midst of the battle, that we will be strong by the power of your Spirit, and that we will see you do great and mighty things through your people here and around the world as we follow you. Father, thank you for the privilege to sing and to worship, the privilege to pray, the privilege to hear your word proclaimed today. And we pray that as we do all of these things in this hour, in response to your command and your desire, for Jesus founded his church, we pray that we will do these things in a way that pleases and honors you, that lifts your name high, and that draws us closer to you. And we give you thanks and praise for all these things and pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, that's what we need to do, isn't it? Yes, sir. Let's have our scripture reading from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 10 through the end of the chapter. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We have a few prayer requests this morning we want to mention. Kathy Nichols is having surgery on Tuesday, so be sure and pray for Kathy. And Ken Weber is having his eye injected again on the 12th, so that's comes again to Philippians chapter 3. I was thinking as we sang the song, "Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Might See Jesus." Certainly in this passage we see Jesus very clearly, and Paul speaking of his great desire to be like him and to draw closer and closer to him and be in his image. We've seen already in this book the life of the Apostle Paul and all that he was. He was a thoroughgoing Hebrew, he says. He had a pedigree, yea long. and a Pharisee and all the rest, but he said he left all that behind that he might know Christ, that he might follow him. And here he's expressing his great desire, his all-consuming desire to know Christ and to be like him, to know him and to make him known. This was his passion and life. And he was not satisfied just to be saved. You know, sometimes we have that idea, I think, you know, well, I'm saved now, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven, and that's it, right? No, that's not near it. I mean, that's what gets us into pearly gates, praise the Lord for that. But he also expects us to do something along the way, right? To become more and more like the Lord Jesus. And sometimes it's kind of a difficult road to travel, isn't it? I was reading again, I got out my book, Three Steps Forward, Two Steps Back by Chuck Swindoll. I've started reading that again, thinking about, you know, this is the way life is so often, isn't it? We make a little bit of progress and then we kind of back up again, you know? And this is the way things seem to go. But there's much more to the Christian life than just our initial salvation. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's where we all stop, right? That's where we stop. But that's not the stopping point. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see? That's the rest of it. And that's what we become more and more like Jesus, because he went about doing good, right? And doing so many wonderful things when he was here on earth. And we are to seek to follow in his way and become more and more like him. He wanted to know Christ in all of his fullness. And I hope that's the desire of each one of our hearts today, no matter how far we might be from that. Sometimes I feel like I'm a great long distance away from that point, but we need to constantly work towards it. Verse 10 again, he says, that I may know him. Do you know him this morning? I trust we do. To know him in all of his fullness and his glory, and to have the power of his resurrection. Can you imagine the power that brought him forth from the dead? You know, when someone dies and you put them in the ground, they don't usually come back out again, do they? Well, at least not for a while. They will eventually. Yes, they will. God's going to bring us out. But Jesus came out on the third day, the power of his resurrection. Paul says, I want that power in my life. And the fellowship of his sufferings. That's something we like to avoid, isn't it? How many of you love to suffer? I got to put my hand down too, because that certainly is not the truth. But Paul says, I want to know the fellowship, that communion of the sufferings of Christ. We have the communion service once a month, remembering what Jesus did for us, and we have a certain communion and fellowship in that, but we know so little of the sufferings of Christ and what he did for us, being made conformable unto his death. He was willing to go all the way to die on the cross to take away our sins. And we need to be willing to die for him, to die for one another, the scripture says. He says, so that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul didn't have any doubts that he was going to be resurrected, but he just says, you know, how could it possibly be that I, a sinner, could reach that point of being resurrected from the dead? And he's rejoicing in all that Christ has done for him. So we come here and we see, first of all, Paul in the next verses is presenting himself as a runner in the race of life, expressing his determination, his desire to run the race and win the prize, be like the Lord Jesus himself. He says, first of all, he says, I have not yet attained. I haven't yet been made perfect. I have not yet arrived. You know, some people might think they've arrived, but Paul said he had never had. He's still on the road, still traveling, seeking to be more like the Lord Jesus. He says, I'm not perfect. Here we have that progressive sanctification, the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, right? That we might become more and more like Jesus as we seek to follow him. He says, I follow after. See the picture of the runner here. Determined to go forward and not backwards. I'm following after, looking to the goal, reaching out. He says, reaching forth to those things which are before. Not looking back, not living in the past, but living for the present, looking to the future. This is the runner going forth. He says, I press toward the mark, the goal. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. We see here Paul uses this picture again of the runner in the marathon of life. And verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all the people that are watching on, those that have gone on before, whether they can see us or not, I don't know, but this is the picture here that we have. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, we find here the lay aside every weight. Don't be burdened down with all these other things, the anxieties and the trials and the temptations and testings of life and everything that weights us down. He says, cast it all aside. Let's let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? Lay aside all of these other things, the preoccupations. Get rid of all the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into sin, isn't it? We can do it very quickly without even realizing it. And what do we have to do when we sin? Well, the scripture says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in this race, when you do something wrong, you make a mistake, you sin, you do something you shouldn't do, you don't just quit running. You admit it and then keep on going, right? Stay in the race. Don't decide not to go any further. I know some people, they get upset or something happens. They say, oh, well, I'm just going to quit going to church, right? Those people don't understand me and, you know, they're just a bunch of hypocrites anyway, right? You ever heard that? Well, sometimes maybe we are. It could be. And I think we all probably are at some time or the other. But we need to confess our hypocrisy and keep on moving. He says, don't allow sin to get in your way. Don't trip over some sin and fall flat on your face. Be careful where you're going. Look. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the goal, isn't he? He is the what we're striving to be like him. Right? Now, I said again, that's not the way a person's saved. I'm not saying that you have to run the race in order to be saved. You're already saved. You know, you get your ticket when you go in, right? Start the race. And but the Lord does want us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It says he is the author, the originator of our faith, and he is the finisher of our faith. Jesus paid it all. And we are obligated to him. He went to the cross, not because he wanted to, but because he needed to in order to save us, in order to, for the joy that was set before him. The joy was bringing us to salvation. But he had shame in the fact that he had to bear the sins of the world. But now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high, interceding for us until the day when we go to be with him. It's wonderful to know that Jesus is there, taking the place where we can come to him, the throne of grace, and know that he hears and answers our prayers. Paul here is speaking. He says he's not satisfied with his progress, but he's determined to continue on to the end. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not yet gotten everything I planned to do. I have not yet arrived, but this one thing I do. See, this one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind, all of my past life and everything that has happened, putting it behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's, you know, the scripture speaks, Jesus said you must be born again, right? So whatever happened previously is gone, right? Hopefully you might have learned something from it, but it's behind you. You can't go back and live that way anymore. Or you shouldn't. He says we reach forth. We have a new life in Christ, and we can look to him, forget the past, concentrate on the present. Let's live where we are and do the best we can and do the most we can and then press on toward the future. This is what he's saying here. It's a progressive thing that we need. I press toward the mark, continuing on. And Paul urges then the believers to have the same attitude. He says, this is how I feel. Now I want you to be followers of me. Down in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. He says, follow my example and the example of those who are living righteously and serving the Lord, seeking to be more like him. So he urges us to have this attitude. Back up in verse 15, he says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, what's Paul saying here? Before he says, I'm not perfect, right? And now he says, as many of us as are perfect. So what's he doing? Is he contradicting himself? No, he means two different things here. When he says up here, I am not already perfect, that means he hasn't arrived completely at the place where he desires to go, to be like Christ. That will happen someday when we are in his presence. We'll be made like him. For we shall see him as he is, it tells us, right? And yet we have not yet arrived there. So we're not perfect in that sense. But he says, as many as are, be perfect. We are perfected in Christ, right? In God's sight, we are clean. We have been purified. We have no sin against us. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, right? So we're perfect in that sense because we're in Christ. And we are to be perfect in the sense of being mature as growing Christians. And he's saying this is what, as many of us as be perfect in Christ, as many of us as be mature in him, may we be thus minded. He says, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He says, okay, if you haven't yet understood all of this, look to the Lord. He will give you the guidance. He will give you the revelation. He will give you what you need to understand, to be mature in your thinking and in your determination to follow the Lord. You know, the scripture speaks of us when we are first saved, right? He says, as newborn babes, right? We're just like little children, infants. Infants don't do anything much for themselves, do they? You know, you have to take care of every need that they have. But he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So a new Christian, the best thing he can do is to read the word of God, to study the word of God, to be under the teaching and preaching of the word of God, so that he might understand and grow in his faith. And then as he grows, he's able to understand more and more the teachings of the scriptures and the deeper things of God. But it's a process. And he says we need to allow God to reveal this to us. You know, all we have to do is open up our hearts and our minds to him and say, Lord, teach me. And he will. As we study his word, as we look into it, as we allow the Spirit of God to teach us, listen to his instructions, you know, and to be united together. He said, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So he's appealing to these believers at Philippi to be united together. There were some problems, we'll get to that a little bit later, among some of the members of the church, which is unfortunate, but it does happen. But at any rate, he's saying here, let's all walk by the same rule. Well, what's the rule? Jesus said that the greatest thing was to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Okay, that's the starting point, isn't it? Right? To have a love for one another and to love somebody is to desire the very best for them, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything or do everything someone wants us to do. It may not even be a good thing, right? But our attitude should be that of love one another. whatever course that might take. Sometimes people might misunderstand and think you don't love them when you really do. And they talk about what? Tough love sometimes, right? You have to have some of that as well as the other kind. And we need to truly be one in Christ, to be united, to walk by the same rule, the Word of God, and mind the same thing. Follow after the teachings of the Scriptures and the way that the Lord has led us through His Word and by His Spirit. Be united together. Follow after Paul's example. He says in another place, "You follow me as I follow Christ." See, that's the whole thing, isn't it? We're following Christ and we look at other people and we say, "Is he following Christ?" Then we can follow that person. If not, then be careful. And that's what he says here in verse 18. Be careful, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He's talking here about those who would teach false doctrine, would lead people astray for their own benefit, you know. He's exhorted the believers to be united together in one accord, but he's also warning them here to be careful not to be united with those who are teaching falsehood, who are leading in the wrong direction, who are teaching something that's not true, or something that may be harmful. You have to be careful, because he says there are many. And I think we know that there are many that are teaching that which is not the truth and leading people down the wrong pathway. We need to stay on the right track, looking unto Jesus and not to anyone else, and not following after some deviant way. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul's pretty direct here. He doesn't just say that they're misled. He says that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, and they will be destroyed. So he's talking here about those who are not saved. They are leading people down the wrong pathway. You know, the Scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And people might be sincerely following something, but if it's the wrong road, they may end up in a pit. And here he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. You see? They don't want to do it for their own benefit, for what they can get out of it, you see. And not really sincerely following to help people, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. See, not heavenly things, but earthly things. And so there is that warning that Paul gives here. Many are enemies in disguise. They're only seeking to benefit themselves. And we need to be careful. That's the reason we need to judge everything according to the Word of God. And don't allow anyone to take you off on a rabbit trail somewhere else that might end up in the briar bushes or somewhere else like that. So then he encourages here the believers in the last two verses. In verse 20, he says, "For our conversation," or this word conversation here could be translated citizenship, where we belong, ultimately. We are citizens of heaven. "For our conversation," or our manner of life, our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that blessed hope again that we find throughout Paul's writings, that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall all be changed, caught up in a twinkling of an eye. And we have the wonderful truths that Jesus is coming again. We're looking for him. You're looking for Jesus? Keep your eyes on the sky, right? Anyhow, we are looking for the Savior who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that's when we're going to be transformed, isn't it? When Jesus comes again. He says we are to continue to run the race until it's over, until Jesus comes or he calls us home, one or the other. Then, he says, you're going to have a change take place. You know, we're equipped in this body to live here on earth, right? But when we leave this earth, we have a new body that God is going to give to us that will be fashioned like the Lord Jesus, like his glorious body. It says we're going to change this tent into a dwelling place that will be forever. So we are citizens of heaven. You know, Philippi was a colony of Rome. It was in Greece, in Macedonia. But they were subject to the rules and laws of Rome rather than where they actually were, and had to obey the law of Rome. So we are citizens of heaven. We are to obey the rules and regulations of heaven, right? First of all. Now that doesn't mean that we are not also to obey the law here. You can get into trouble doing that. We are American citizens, and we're very concerned about what happens in our country. We are to stand for righteousness and let our light shine for the Lord Jesus. We are here for that reason. But our ultimate home is in heaven. We're looking forward to that. This is all temporary. And someday we will go to be with him and be made like him. Can you imagine? What's that going to be like? Jesus had a glorified body and was able to just walk through the walls. Can you imagine? You think you're going to be able to walk through the walls? I don't know. That's not the greatest thing, I guess. But anyway, to be like him. And to have no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. And to no more sin. Oh, to live in a place where there's no more sin. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. And it'll be a joyful time when we are in heaven with the Lord. Certainly something to look forward to. But until then, we continue on, don't we? Day by day, looking to the Lord, seeking to live for him and serve him, to love one another, to walk in righteousness and truth, and to be faithful to him until he comes. Lord, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today, and we hope and pray that it will be a blessing to each one of us, that we might run the race with patience and endurance, that we might look to Jesus each step of the way, that we might be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in righteousness and truth and do your will until that day when you call us into your presence And Lord, we just thank you for all that we have in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in your goodness to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.